Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 8:07, 36 degrees outside on a Saturday morning. This is the last hour of Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia Gardener, and welcome, my friends. If you have a question about your lawn, your garden, your trees, your shrubs, your flowers, your houseplants, your insects, your pests, squirrels, deer. I had a call already this morning about deer rubbing on the side of a tree and just basically decimating the tree in this guy's front yard. If you have a question about pest control, about animal pest control anyway, or insect pest control too, I'll give you the best research and experience that I have and help you get you on the right way towards success. Success, however you define it in your landscape. One of the ways you can be successful is by winning the weekend prize pack. And I have a nice one here today. Rachel Perry is screening calls in Ashley's absence. Rachel is thinking of a number between 2 and 7 to determine who wins. A pair of tickets to see Tom Petty, the Heartbreakers, with special guest Joe Walsh. This is in April of next year, April 27 at Phillips Arena. That's going to be a big concert. You can win this, plus a 4-pack of tickets to see the Atlanta Gladiators home game at the Infinite Energy Center. You can use both of the pair of tickets to see Tom Petty, Joe Walsh, family 4-pack of tickets. The winner is Rachel Perry. You can hold your fingers up if you want to.
That'll be caller number 3.
Caller number 3. Rachel makes it easy. Our contest line is 404-741-0750. 404-741-0750. Tom Petty, Joe Walsh, the Gladiators. Here we come. It's 8:09, and we've got Doug and McDonough on the line. Hey, Doug. Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm great. Doug, how can I help?
I've got a vine that looks like a honeysuckle. But it's got three or four places on the vine that's scattered all over the place, and it sprung up real quick, too.
Yeah.
That's got seed pods that are about 8 inches long, maybe big around as a dime,
Yeah. And
just loaded down with seeds. I'm wondering if I can start more of those vines from those seeds, and I want to.
We've got to figure out what it is, then. What would happen? Wisteria right now has pods, certainly, and they're flat. You know what a wisteria looks like, then, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not wisteria.
All right. What else would have pods? Is it a round pod, a flat pod? You said it's about 8 inches long.
Yeah. It's fairly round. It may be slightly rectangular.
Huh.
In other words, it's got four little edges in the round area. It's got a flower just like a honeysuckle flower. I thought that's what it was at first.
And what do the leaves look like? Is it evergreen, so you see some leaves now?
Yeah, it is evergreen, but I'm not by it. I was driving down the road when I called.
I mean, you're thinking about it right now, so you don't have a way to go look at it and see what it is.
Not right this second. I want to say I looked it up online, and I think it might be a trumpet vine.
Yeah, now we're talking. Trumpet vine. The flower... Yeah, it's trumpet shaped, so it's sort of like a honeysuckle, and could be trumpet vine. There are also cross vines, and cross vine pod is not exactly as you described, but it's a possibility of cross vine, which also grows rapidly and readily in the woods. Either one, whether it's trumpet vine or cross vine, the seeds will germinate perfectly for you. All you have to do is collect some and stick them in the ground, and bang, bang, up they come next spring.
Okay. I already broke them off, the seed pods, when a few of them started turning brown. Figured they needed to get mature.
Yeah, but once they start turning brown, for the most part, the seeds are mature enough to germinate. So if that's the case, again, just put them in the soil and see what happens.
Okay. All righty.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Cross vine, the difference between the two, if they ever flower, if you see one that's already established in the backyard that's flowering, a cross vine flower is shorter. It's about an inch and a half, probably. Has generally a yellow throat to it. Trumpet vine flowers are much longer. They're about 3 to 4 inches long, bright orange or bright red, perhaps. And if one is more vigorous than the other, I would say the trumpet vine is probably the more vigorous of the two. Crossvine is not quite that vigorous. Crossvine leaves are single, don't have any teeth around the edges. Trumpet vine leaves are different from that. They're more compound. But nonetheless, we'll wait. We'll see. The seeds will come up. You'll have fun.
Yeah, I think the flowers were bigger, so it sounds like probably the trumpet.
Could be that. All right. Keep in mind that trumpet vine can be invasive a little bit, but if you like it, a lot of people do because it attracts hummingbirds like crazy. They love those trumpet flowers. They'll come from miles around to see a trumpet vine.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah.
The wife loves those.
All right.
Pretty cool.
All right. Good deal. Hey, thanks for calling, Doug. Phone number 404-872-0750, 404-872-0750. Speaking of birds, we were just talking about hummingbirds. And this is a great time of year to make sure your bird feeders are filled and make sure that you're not only feeding seed, but also suet. And if you want to know which seed is recommended, I always believe that the black sunflower seed, no mix, no nothing, just black oil sunflower seed, that is the best thing to put into a feeder because it's something that lots and lots of birds that overwinter like to eat. And also because they mostly eat it there in the feeder without scratching it out onto the ground. And the problem, if you have a bird feeder with a lot of millet and corn and wheat and things like that mixed in with the black oil sunflower seed, is that all gets scratched onto the ground, where it is a perfect environment for squirrels, chipmunks, rats, doves, some of the ground birds and ground creatures that you don't really want to have in your landscape. So I really, really recommend the black oil sunflower seed as being the best kind of thing to feed in your hanging bird feeders. Then suet is the other thing to put out. Suet, technically, I guess, is the rendered fat from beef animals. You get some of the fat that's in the loin of the animal, and you melt it down and put it into blocks, and that's suet. But the suet that we get now is usually mixed up in little blocks. You can buy them at hardware stores and nurseries very easily, about 4 inches by 4 inches, and you get a special suet feeder out of green metal is what it usually is made out of. You hang that in the tree or hang that from the eave of the house, and the woodpeckers and titmice and some of the other birds that don't much care for the seeds, or your black oil sunflower seed, they come to the suet feeder. And I have my suet feeders right by the windows in my sunroom, so I can be in my sunroom reading and look up, and there'll be a woodpecker, there'll be a little titmouse, there might be a chickadee, there might be all sorts of little birds clustered around my suet feeder, just as happy as they can possibly be eating the suet on that feeder. And that's one of the fun things in the wintertime, is not necessarily having flowers to look at, but to have birds and a little bit of wildlife and a little bit of color to look at as well. We've got Amy on the line. Amy's here in Atlanta and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Walter.
How can I help? Well,
I am rebuilding a house on a floodplain in the city of Atlanta. We lost our other one 2 years ago in a fire.
Oh, man, okay.
And we're scheduled to be finished building in April, but the only thing in our front yard that survived was a specimen river birch with five trunks.
Wow, okay.
Want to know what are some of the things we should put? We're very close to the Emory University campus, and I'm just not sure what I should plant in there, because the nice thing is, for better or worse, I have a pretty bare scape to start with.
You know, I would say almost for the better, to be truthful, Amy, because there are a lot of people near Emory who are saying, man, I got the same landscape I've had for 40 years back here, and it's all shady, and I don't know what's growing because some things don't like the shade that's already occurred, and they're sort of locked into what they're doing, whereas you have this blank palette that you can do whatever you want to with. And I think that the first thing always is to think about, where are your hardscape elements going to be? Where are you going to put the sidewalk from the driveway to the door? If you're going to make a wall, if there's any sort of hardscaping things you want to put out, they go in first. That's where you put your money first. And then secondly, you think about, well, now shrubs and trees. Do I need some tree on this side of the house to block the sun coming in the bedroom windows? Do I need some shrubbery underneath the front of the house to be a foundation shrub? Do I have particular colors the house is painted? Like colors that are in the pink or deep green or variegated, or what kind of color flowers and things do I want? So you make some decisions there. And you can install trees and shrubs, as I said, first. And then after that, you can think about perennial plants that we put in underneath them to bloom for the rest of the year. What's the shade situation? If you have any shade from your neighbors, you think about, well, I'll put some shade tolerant, maybe autumn fern or hosta or things like that over on the shady part. And if you have sunny areas, any of this nice beds for maybe some vegetables, that'd be great. Make a raised bed or two out there, and flowers in the beds as well. So you've got a lot of stuff to think about, but a real nice open area to play with, I think.
I agree. Is there anything I should do now? I realize they're still tromping over the front yard to help get the soil ready to start, because I do love a great garden.
Yeah, the best thing you can do right now, I think, is to start limiting where traffic occurs, and you know, just put little fences or strings or something that says workmen walk here, walk to the front door on this path, so that you know where they're going to be, because the other areas that are going to be eventually planted, you could conceivably start planting now. You could till it up if you had go rent a tiller somewhere and till it up real nicely. If it's all red clay, you could add some topsoil to it, till that in real nicely. And then you have areas to plant even while the workers are finishing what they're doing, as long as you control they're not stepping on your plants every day. They walk out there, you control them and have soil to play a little bit with whenever it's warm this winter.
Well, great. Well, Walter, thank you so much for your suggestions. I appreciate it.
And don't forget, you got the Toco Hill Pike just around the corner from me. I'll see you there sometime.
Sounds good.
All right, Amy. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
It's 8:18 on a Saturday morning. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
And a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Afternoon today, not so much of a chance of rain showers, although there will be a lot of overcast clouds today. Temperatures going into the mid-60s, 65, 66 degrees overnight, going into the 50s, and tomorrow 61 degrees, but lots of rain perhaps is going to come in the forecast, so get your gardening done today. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Robert is up in Winder. Robert joins us on Lawn and Garden. Robert, what do you got?
I have cannas, and every year I get these worms that curl the leaves up.
Yeah.
I use that BH, isn't it BH?
BT.
But I mulch them in the wintertime heavily. Should I not be mulching them to keep?
I have not yet found a true way of controlling canna leaf roller. I'll give you what I have done, and you can decide if you think it's worth the time or not. One year, I was good unrolling those leaves and smashing those little caterpillars out of there as soon as I saw them. And then the same year, I put systemic insecticide on the soil around them, the Bayer tree and shrub systemic stuff I put on the soil around them. And it seemed to me that the next year, I didn't have quite as many. If I had the first year, 10 out of 20 or all infected, maybe 15 out of 20 had the worm in the leaves, and the next year it might have been 5 or maybe 8 or 9 out of 20 had the worms in the leaves. So it seemed like I got some reduction by being real good about taking the worms out, number one, and by putting the systemic in the soil, number two, to kill the ones that I didn't find and unroll.
Should I do that now or wait until spring?
I think springtime, when the leaves first curl up out of the ground, is the time to put the systemic down. And then just be every couple, 3 days going out looking at those leaves as they unfurl. And you know what they look like, Robert. Go out there and see if the leaves are stitched together. If you know what it looks like, when you stitch it together by that little caterpillar that gets in the leaves from the canna, unroll it real quickly with the edge of your thumb and mash them. Throw them out there for the birds to eat. Get them out of there. You don't want those canna leaf rollers in there anymore.
Okay, well, continue to mulch them, though, during the winter to keep from killing them.
I don't think that's going to make any difference either way.
It won't?
No, not that I'm aware, no.
Okay, well, I won't mulch them then.
I'll mulch a little bit if you want to, just to keep them from freezing. That's a good idea. But as far as mulching to prevent the leaf roller, that doesn't have any effect on it at all. Just to prevent from freezing and to make the ground look better is the only reason to mulch, I think, in the wintertime. It's 8:28 News Talk WSB. This is Lawn and Garden. Our number is 404-872-0750. We'll be back after news.
the Publix Holiday Headquarters Studio at WSB.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center. Playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 8:36 on a Saturday morning. 37 degrees. We've gone up 1 degree since I came in at 6 a.m. this morning. A little bit of overcast skies throughout the day. Maybe some rain tomorrow. So if you have things you need to do, go ahead and get them done today. And then tomorrow, where can you go? You go to your local Pike Nursery, search for some holiday plants, search for some things on sale. And to introduce what is on sale at Pike, our friend Mickey Gazaway. Hey, Mickey.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. Thank you, ma'am.
Great.
Somebody needs to rake the final sweet gum leaves out of his driveway, and that's what's going to be done at my house today.
Well, good for you. That's a good thing to do.
Might prune back the lantana,
My lantana looks really bad.
Yeah, they're all flopped out.
And I've even got some...
echinacea. I think of all the things other than these.
Yeah, anyway, I've got several things that need to be cut back.
Yeah. So we'll get that done. But first, we have to introduce people to the 20% off Pike Pick of the weekend.
That's right. And actually, it's 30% off today. Is for the blooming Christmas plants.
So that would be...
And that would be amaryllis.
Right.
Poinsettias. And Christmas cactus.
And Christmas cactus, too. We've had several questions this morning already about Christmas cactus, which I think all of those are Thanksgiving cactus that we're selling at Pike.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Nonetheless, they're blooming at Christmas, and we're going to call them Christmas cactus.
That's right.
That's when they're blooming.
And that's usually what you see. I've got a Christmas cactus at home, but, it's kind of smaller. It doesn't have the big sticky things on the sides.
Yeah, little crab things sticking on the side of the leaf.
Yeah, that's a good description. I didn't listen to you.
Actually, we had another call from a lady who had what I believe to be an Easter cactus. She was
really?
One that she said it blooms around Valentine's Day and a little bit later. I'm thinking, it's probably not Thanksgiving or Christmas cactus. That is an Easter cactus,
different species. Yeah, they're all zacots, or however you say it.
Yeah. All right, so all the blooming plants on sale. That is a great thing to know. We've got
the blooming Christmas plants.
Blooming Christmas plants,
right.
Not the orchids, not the other blooming plants.
Yeah, included.
And the trees are still on sale, still looking fresh, still looking great at Pike Nursery, and smelling up the storm, looking good.
Absolutely.
Wreaths are good. I mentioned earlier this morning we have the birding supplies, which I think make a great gift for somebody who is a gardener. Give them a birdhouse, bird feeder, bird seed, hummingbird feeder, any of those things. Suet feeder, that'd all be great gifts.
That would be a great gift. I would like that at my house. defer my cost.
Exactly. You've already got bird feeders and bird seeds.
I love bird seeds.
And Bubba the bird.
That would be great.
The parrot inside the house. You got what you need as far as I can tell, Mickey Gazaway. So let's talk a little bit about the blooming houseplants, and particularly the Christmas cactus, because one of the questions this morning was hers had not bloomed, and she was wondering how to give advice to her friend to get it to bloom. Do you have any tips on Christmas cactus?
The easiest way for me is I just leave mine out.
Yeah.
I leave it out until usually Halloween. And by then, it's made the little buds on the end of the leaf, and it's time to bring it in.
Well, then we agree completely, because that's what I told her to do.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Tell her friend to put it out under a dogwood tree somewhere it gets bright shade, and leave it out there until the temperature's at night around 40 or 45 degrees, and bring it inside, and the little buds will be there on the ends of the leaves. And one more thing that I think is interesting about the Christmas cactus is how easy it is to root those things.
You can root
those leaves and give away 100 of them between now and next season.
And whenever I do a class on houseplants, I always say, who's got the oldest houseplant?
Right.
And it's always either a jade plant or a Christmas cactus.
That's exactly right, because there's such
and
castle
on things. And I've got Christmas cactus that came from my mother, my mother's sister, her mother. They're just very long-lived houseplants.
My friend Heidi Holcomb Jones, Mimi Holcomb is her mom, and she gave me cuttings off of her Christmas cactus 15, I'm thinking, years ago, maybe more than that. I've still got that thing blooming in my house. Mimi Holcomb, thank you for that Christmas cactus. It's still working great. Thank you so much. They're great pass-along plants, and as you said, you just clip off, snap off the ends of the leaves and stick them in a little saucer of sand, and within 3 weeks, they got roots on them, and you got a new plant.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And most of these do not need fertilizer. Don't need much fertilizer in the wintertime, do they?
And they also, I fertilize mine in the spring when they start putting out. They start putting out new leaves, and I fertilize them at that point. And remember that these are jungle cactus. They're not desert cactus.
Right.
They don't need to be out in the blazing sun.
Right. They grow in trees like a orchid sort of do. They live in the crotches of trees in the natural environment. That's what you want to give them when they either are in the house or preferably outside during the summertime underneath the trees.
Right.
Well, Mickey, it's great talking to you. So let's remind everybody it's blooming Christmas holiday plants on sale. Poinsettias, Christmas cactus, and what was the other one? I've forgotten now.
Amaryllis.
And amaryllis. Thank you. Amaryllis. Got the amaryllis in there, too. And all you have to do is go to the cashier and say, hey, this is the Pike Pick of the weekend. It's 30% off. Get a great sale. Plus, pick out all your other Christmas greenery and gifts as well. And, Mickey, if we wanted to find a local Pike Nursery location, where would we look?
At PikeNursery.com.
I guess we would.
Question, are you going to be on next week?
As a matter of fact, Dave Baker and I were both looking at each other this morning saying, you're going to be here? I'm going to be here. Yes, ma'am, we will be here next week.
I'll talk to you next week.
We will look for you then, Mickey. Thanks for calling. We'll see you soon. It's 42 minutes past the hour at News Talk WSB. We've got Kevin. Kevin's out in Marietta and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Kevin, hey, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Reeves. How are you doing?
I'm great. How can I help?
Well, Georgia Power decided to execute their right to chopping down some of my trees in the front that were impeding their access to some of the lines, a couple of young oaks, and a Bradford pear, and a dogwood.
Okay.
So the trees gave great shade to the front yard, which is fescue. And we all know in Georgia you got to have shade to get fescue going out here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to replace those trees, and they were nice enough to give me a $100 gift certificate.
Oh, great.
To replace. Yeah.
Terrific.
So, they were at least nice enough to do that. And so now I'm kind of on the fence of what they said that, you know, I can replace the trees as long as they mature at, you know, no higher than a 15-foot height. So
five,
I kind of wanted to know.
Did you say 5'0" or 1'5"? Which did you say?
1'5".
1'5", okay, 15.
15. Yep. And so I was looking for a deciduous tree, you know, offer some nice shade during the summer that falls within those requirements. What do you got for me?
I got a couple of suggestions. One is a forest pansy redbud, or if you really want to look something nice, the new, what's it called? New Moon, Rising Sun Redbud. Ooh, was that a pretty redbud. Whoa.
Okay.
So a Forest Pansy or Rising Sun Redbud. I think a Coosa Dogwood would not be much higher than 15 feet. So the Asian Dogwood, and they bloom in May, and they're really pretty and tough and take a lot of sun, and Coosa or Asian Dogwood would be a choice for me. Some of the crepe myrtles certainly never get higher than 15 feet, but read the label and make sure you got the one that doesn't get monstrous, because Natchez will get to 40 or 50 feet tall, which would be cut down again by Georgia Power. You don't want to do that.
No. I want to avoid all that.
Nice
again.
Crepe myrtle. Let's see what else. Japanese silverbell. Pretty tree. And gosh, those pretty little white flowers on a Japanese silverbell are just awesome. In the spring.
What about a white fringe tree? Something along the lines.
It's going to get too tall. 20 feet, 25 feet is where I see them maturing, and that's going to.
Yeah,
it's a pretty tree, yes, but it's not going to fit where you want it to fit, I don't think.
Okay. So what was the first one you said, Walter? You said.
Let's see. We said forest pansy or rising sun redbud. Either one, I think.
Forest pansy.
Yeah.
All right. And then the dogwood that began with a
Coosa, K-O-U-S-A, Coosa dogwood. Yeah.
All right, great. Well, that gives me some options. Are these available at Pike's?
As a matter of fact, they are available at Pike. I'm not sure they'll be available at every store right now because, of course, they clear their inventory for Christmas season. So ask when and if and how and ask them to call around and check out the store inventory to see what people have.
And a good time to plant in the next month or so?
Yeah. You know, one more thing, because I was talking to a friend last night. Carl bark maple is another tree that it might be a little tall for you, but gosh, I was thinking with my friend Alan last night, thinking Carl bark maple, that is an awesome tree. More people ought to plant that. It might be too tall.
How do you spell that one?
C-O-R-A-L, Carl like pink coral, Carl bark maple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Walter. I appreciate your help.
Good talking to you, Kevin. Thanks for calling.
All right, take care. Have a good one.
45 minutes past the hour. Jeannie is out in Alpharetta and joins us. Hey, Jeannie, good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help?
Hellebores.
Yes, ma'am.
The seedlings, when is the best time to move them? And do I need to put them in the ground or pots or what?
You remind me, Jeannie, that I made a promise to myself back in the summer when it was dry and I couldn't move anything. I was thinking, I need to move the hellebores in my yard to my grave plot. I talked to my friend Sarah Henderson at Oakland Cemetery in Atlanta and mentioned to her that I wanted to plant something on my grave plot there. And she said, plant hellebores this fall. And I made a note and I hadn't remembered it. And here you are, Jeannie, to remind me to plant my hellebores on my grave plot soon. So, now's the time. This is a basic answer to your question. Now's the time. Do your hellebore baby moving whenever you want to in the next month or
so. Okay, and when's the best time to fertilize them with what?
You know, they do a lot of growth and root growth in the wintertime. And if you're moving, I think what I would get is some of the slow-release fertilizer, Milorganites, one brand name, Espoma, Polytones, another brand name. Any of these real slow-release fertilizers can be mixed into the soil as you're digging your bed and putting the little babies in place, and it'll be released when things warm up and the plants start their rapid growth in early spring. So I would use one of the slow-release, even pelleted Osmocote would work fine. Milorganite, Polytone, Osmocote, any of those three.
Well, then you said something about the colors of the fertilizer.
Yeah, we talked about the pink label. Mickey and I talk about the pink label because it's good for cool season blooming plants like pansies and ornamental cabbage and things like that. The pink label Osmocote, and you could use that too. That would be fine.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Have fun. Have fun moving those hellebores. It really feels rich in my life all those babies to move around.
Yeah, they don't seem to like it to stay where they are.
So you move them to where they need to be and should be. That's exactly right. It's 8:47 at News Talk WSB. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves and the lawn and garden advice you need.
And a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. A summary is basically overcast, cloudy all day long. Not much chance of rain today. Highs in the mid-60s. Overnight lows 61, 62 degrees tomorrow, going back about the same 61 or 62, and much more chance of rain Sunday. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Cody is out in Cedartown, and he joins us this morning for the last question of the air or the morning. Hey, Cody.
Hey, thank you, Walter.
What you got?
Hey, I've got it's top of cactus or succulent, and she was told it was called mother-in-law's tongue.
Sure, yeah.
She got it as a gift at work, and she's got it 30 years ago.
Get out of Dodge.
And it's about 53 inches high, and the width is about 2.5 inches wide.
Wow.
It's sort of a dark and light green variegated pattern, you know?
Right, yeah, sure.
And the tips are starting to turn brown on it, and some new growth is starting to come out. We got it in a huge pot, and we're trying to figure out whether we should, you know, like take it out and try to separate it and put it in smaller pots or just cut it back.
Yeah, we're going to separate it. That's exactly what we're going to do. You and the sweetie are going to get a big 2 or 3 or 5 sheets of newspaper to put on the kitchen floor.
Okay.
And tape it on its side and just pound the outside of the pot until it lets go. And you can slide that mother-in-law tongue, snake plant's another name for it, out of the pot. And then somebody, probably you, Cody, is going to have to go outside and get a water hose and wash as much of the potting soil off of the roots as you can, because that'll reveal where roots can be divided. And you'll see very, very easily there'll be a real thick root that has a bunch of leaves coming off of it that connects with a little thin connector. You cut it right there at the thin connector. Pop that away, and that's one plant to put in a pot. And then you see another thick root with a little thin connector. Clip that off with a pair of shears and put that in another pot. And pretty soon you'll have 4, maybe 5 different separate plants that came out of that one big pot. And you have some potting soil nearby, of course, and you repot them in the new pots and you keep all 5 or you give some away for Christmas. That's what you do.
Oh, okay, great. Well, that sounds great. Thanks for your advice.
Yeah, nothing to it. And, you know, it is possible if you kept it in that pot. Sometimes these mother-in-law tongue plants will bloom And people send me pictures occasionally of their mother-in-law plants in a real crowded pot. It'll bloom and just smell up the whole house. Very, very fragrant flowers on it. But it's not often that that happens, and I'm not thinking that you necessarily need to wait on that happening. So repot them. Divide them. Do what you need to.
All right. Well, thank you, Howard.
You bet. Thanks for calling, Cody.
Bye.
It's 856, 857 at News Talk WSB. It's been a great Saturday morning. Made great because I have two wonderful co-workers this morning. Rachel Perry was here in Ashley's absence. Ashley's taking a Saturday off, and Rachel does a great job screening our calls. And look, we've been on the air for three solid hours. Jason Byers has kept us on the air. Jason is the new engineer, well-trained by Scott Maxim. Jason Byers, we got a new engineer for the Lawn and Garden Show, and he has kept us on the air and happy with our music coming just like we need it, and we appreciate that as well. If you did not get your question answered today, you can go to my website, walterreeves.com. You can follow me on Twitter, on Facebook, on Pinterest, all sorts of ways. If you don't see me there, then I'll see you next Saturday right here for another edition of Lawn and Garden.